The subject of our study this morning will be found in the text from which we had our reading earlier, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 6. I want to read the first four verses of that text again to get the theme of our study this morning. You're perhaps familiar with this reading. Be reading from the New King James Version, the text on the chart, or from that version. If you'd like to read along with me or from your own Bible, you're welcome to do that. In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." When Paul wrote this around the spring of 63 AD from the prison in Rome, as he was in prison there, remember he wrote four epistles during that occasion, perhaps Philippians around late in 62 AD or early 63, and then Ephesians and Colossians and Philemon. On this occasion he writes to them, speaking about a mystery. You're familiar with that mystery if you're a member of the Lord's body. It's in regard to that mystery that God kept in His mind and had not disclosed for a long period of time until Christ came and man was able to be saved in Christ Jesus. All men, both Jew and Gentile. That's the mystery under consideration in the context. But that's not the theme or the study of our subject this morning. We simply want to look at this ideal of reading. Paul said to those to whom he was writing, to the church at Ephesus, that they would understand some important things about this mystery. As a matter of fact, he says, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You may understand my understanding. The word knowledge is translated understanding in some versions. That is, we can have the same knowledge that Paul had regarding this mystery. That is, all men can be saved in Christ Jesus, Jew or Gentile. When you read, reading is our subject or our theme for this morning's study. But it may seem strange to some that we would study such a theme as reading. Surely everyone understands the importance of reading. Surely you read magazines, newspapers, books, perhaps social media websites. But the reading under consideration that we want to consider this morning is reading from the Scripture. That's what's important. Many people simply do not understand the importance of reading. As a matter of fact, Paul says, when you read, you may understand. Now, some versions, and most versions, say you can or you will understand. And so reading is important. But most people don't understand the importance of reading, especially as it is outlined for us in this text. I know that to be the case because even Timothy, the young evangelist, Paul had to admonish to read. In 1 Timothy 4, in verse 13, he said, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Give attention to it." That is, apply yourself to it. Devote yourself to it. Devote some thought and effort to reading. Now, why is he to do that? Because Timothy was an evangelist. And he often read the Scriptures, not only in private, but in public. And he needed to devote himself to it, give himself to it, give himself to the effort involved in the task, because it is work. Well, first of all, what does it mean to read? What does it mean to read? The word read in our text, even though it's only made up of four little letters, it's actually a compound word in the Greek. Made up of a Greek preposition meaning again, and a Greek verb meaning to know. So literally the word means to know again. to know again. That is, you come to recall a message that has been recorded. That is, you come to know it again. Through thought and through effort, you come to know again that message that has been given. It is the process of, I guess you might say, getting again the message. You're simply getting again the message through the process of reading. You come to know it again. How many of you have ever written a note for yourself? You said, I'm going to forget this if I don't write it down. Well, at the time you wrote it down, you knew the message. But you wrote it down in order to get it again. Read it. That's the idea. But reading is more than just remembering the message. It's more than just recalling it. There's more involved in it. As indicated in Acts 8 and in verse 30, when Philip said to the Ethiopian eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? The implication is, Philip, inspired of the Holy Spirit, understood that when one reads, understanding must come. If there's no understanding from the reading, you get nothing out of it. Reading is more than just mouthing words. Reading is more than just a rote routine of reading through the words. If there's no understanding, no comprehension, no perception, no gathering of the meaning of what you have read, you've not read. You've just mouthed words. You've just said words. Words have just run through your mind. Reading involves understanding. As a matter of fact, we get a kind of an overview of what all is involved in reading when we look at a statement made in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. When on that occasion, as the Israelites were rebuilding the wall in the city of Jerusalem and restoring the city of Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity, and the law of God was read to the people. So they read distinctly from the book, Nehemiah 8 and verse 8, in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Now I've underlined some words here. They read distinctly. We might say they read clearly. But actually, there's a different thought in the Hebrew word other than clearly or distinctly, and we'll see in just a moment. Again, the texts on the chart are from the New King James Version. And they gave the sense, that is, they gave the meaning of that which they read. And they helped the people hearing it to understand it. That's what reading involves. As we look at it in other translations, the Christian Standard Bible, Nehemiah 8 and verse 8, they read, translating, here's distinctly, translating and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was read. That's what they did. They read and they gave the sense so people could understand what was being read. That's what reading truly involves. When you read, you need to understand the meaning of what you're reading. You need to understand the sense of what you're reading. If not, it makes no sense to you. We see it again, translated in Young's literal translation. They read, explaining, there's that word distinctly again, explaining so as to give the meaning. And they give understanding. So when you read, what do? You have to read with the purpose of gaining an understanding, gaining a meaning from that which you're reading. If not, you've wasted your time. If you're not reading in order to understand, if you're not reading to gather the meaning, you're wasting your time. Some people say, well, I read through the New Testament this year. Did you understand what you read? It's good to read. As a matter of fact, after our study in the book of Revelation on Wednesday night, I intend to begin a study in the book of Romans. After our study in the Gospel of John, I intend to begin a study on Lord's Day morning in the book of Acts. Now, having mentioned that, what you ought to do is you ought to take those two books and you ought to read them and read them and reread them. Because with the reading comes understanding. And sometimes we may have to read it several times in order to get the understanding or in order to get the meaning of what we're reading. Well, what are we to read? Well, in our text under consideration, it's the Scriptures that is to be read. That which Paul had written, that which other apostles and prophets wrote, that which is inspired of God, that's what is to be read. Now, the Scriptures may be read in private, Acts 8 and in verse 28, regard to the Ethiopian eunuch. He was also returning and sitting in his chariot, or on his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah, Acts 8 and verse 30. Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" So he's reading the Scriptures. One might read in private. But in the first century, if you were reading in private, you was perhaps a wealthy individual who had the ability to obtain manuscripts of Scripture. They weren't available for everyone. They didn't have a modern printing press, or they didn't have the digital devices that we have. Everyone did not have a copy of the Scriptures. Most of the time, in order for one to understand the Scriptures, someone else read the Scriptures out loud to them. And that's what we have in our context under consideration, as we see on many occasions throughout the New Testament. For example, in Luke 4 and verse 16, "So he," that is Jesus, "came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read." He read the Scriptures. Why? Because everybody there didn't have a copy of that which he was reading. He had to read what they had. There may have been only one copy of the Scriptures in that synagogue. And so he read the Scriptures and people would hear it. Public reading of the Scripture. That's what's under consideration in our context. In Colossians 4 and verse 16, we see another example of this. Where Paul said, "Now when this epistle is read among you," that is the epistle he wrote to the Colossian brethren, "see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea." As these epistles were written, copied, and passed from congregation to congregation, they were to be read out loud. People were to read and hear. As people read, just as Jesus stood up to read, if you go back in that context, he sat down and he gave the meaning of what he read. He understood what he read. He gave the meaning of it. Through the public reading of the Scripture, that's what was done. 1 Thessalonians 5 and in verse 27, "I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren." Why? Because they didn't have a copy. It had to be publicly read. In Revelation 1 and in verse 3, in reference to that which John would record in the book of Revelation, "Blessed is he," note this, "who reads." Highly favored is the one who reads it. He's reading in public. Those of you who stand before the audience here and read the Scriptures, you're doing what was done in the first century. That's why we do it. We read it so people can hear it. Come to understand it. Note this. "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it." If there's no understanding, if there's no gathering the sense or the meaning, if there is no comprehension of that which is read, there will be no obedience to it. People simply will not understand it. That's just how important reading the Scripture is. So that's what we have in our text under consideration, the public reading of Scripture. Perhaps it's easy for us to pick up a copy of the Scriptures today and suppose that we're doing the same thing that people did in the first century, but we're not. We're not doing what they did because they simply did not have it available as we have it available today. As a matter of fact, it has been suggested by the historians that a large section of the Roman population of that time period was illiterate. Many of them didn't know how to read, and so others had to read it for them. And then they would give the sense or the meaning of that which they read, and people would respond to it in obedience and be saved. Well, we might ask, well, why should the Scriptures be read? Why should the Scriptures be read? Well, first of all, men should read the Scriptures in order to allow God to speak to them, because that's how God speaks to us. He speaks to us through the Scriptures, through His Word. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. We're familiar with that phrase, given by inspiration of God. Literally means God breathed. That is, Scripture, the Word of God, comes from Him. He spoke it. It is the very Word of God. It is God speaking to us. So when you read the Scriptures, it is God speaking to you. Think about that. It's the very breath of God. I know you've stood close enough to someone before as they spoke. You perhaps felt your breath on your face. God speaks to us through His Word. As a matter of fact, the Scriptures and God are often spoken of in a synonymous way in the Scriptures. That is, to mention the Scriptures is to mention God. It's a figure of speech, metonymy. That is, the Scriptures are mentioned when God is actually the one under consideration. Note a few examples. Romans 9 in verse 17. For the Scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I've raised you up, that I might show my power in you, that my name may be declared in all the earth. The Scripture says that in Genesis 9 and verse 16. Genesis 9 and verse 16. But no, the Scripture says. Scripture is used by metonymy there. It means God said. Do you see that? God said it. Another example, Romans 10 and verse 11. We have a quote here from Isaiah 28 and verse 16. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. The Scripture says, God said it. So you see, God speaks to us through the Scriptures. Galatians 4 and verse 30. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman with her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. What does the Scripture say? What does God say? Because Scriptures, again, used by metonymy. But for God, God said it in Genesis 21 and in verse 10. Now I want you to think about that. When you read, it is God speaking to you. When you read the Scriptures, He's speaking to you. When God speaks to you, He speaks to you through His Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1 and in verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, literally the phrase is, at the end of these days, at the end of the time that God finished speaking through the Old Testament prophets, then He spoke, note this, to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. God speaks to us through or by His Son. Now get this. We said the Scriptures are synonymous with God. God speaks, He speaks through the Scriptures. God speaks, He speaks through His Son. Is it any wonder why the Son is referred to as the Word? John 1 and in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the Word. When we read the Word, not Him, the printed page, it is Christ speaking to us. It is God speaking to us when we read. So why should men read the Scriptures? To allow God to speak to them. That's why. If you want God to speak to you, read the Scriptures. He's not going to speak to you in some small, still voice. He's going to speak to you through His Word, to the word recorded by the apostles and prophets in the first century. Another reason why men should read the Scripture is they should read in order that they might know how to become heirs of God, members of the body of Christ, and partakers of the promise of salvation in Christ. That's why they should read the Scriptures. Ephesians 3 and in verse 4 and following in the text we had in our reading, of which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, the church, and partakers of His promise, where? In Christ through the gospel. What promise? The promise of salvation in Christ that comes through a knowledge or understanding of the gospel. That's why we ought to read the Scriptures, so we can all come to be heirs in the kingdom of God, all belonging to the same body that is the church, the body of Christ. Partake of the salvation that is available in a relationship with Him and in fellowship with Him. Another reason men should read the Scriptures is in order to obtain eternal life. John 5 and in verse 9, Jesus said to the Jews of His day, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of Me." Yes, the Jews of Jesus' day thought that if they kept the works of the law of Moses, contained in the law of Moses, they'd have eternal life. But the Scriptures is that which testified of Christ. The Scriptures were to bring them to salvation in Christ. They didn't recognize and realize that. They were using the Scriptures as a means by which they could earn or merit their salvation by keeping the works of the law of Moses. But we know no man can do that. No man can earn or merit his salvation by keeping works. That doesn't mean works are not important. They are. God requires them of us. But we need to understand that the Scriptures provides eternal life, but it provides eternal life through Jesus Christ or in Jesus Christ. You can't have salvation in Christ without the Scriptures, though. In Matthew 4 and in verse 4, quoting from Deuteronomy, Jesus said to Satan, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." The Word of God, the Scriptures, provide eternal life. Not in and of themselves, but because they bring us to have a relationship in Christ Jesus. Without the Scriptures, there is no life. Without one's obedience to the Scriptures, one cannot be saved. But that salvation is found, again, in Christ Jesus. We need to read the Scriptures in order to obtain that salvation. Another reason why we need to read the Scriptures is in order to check up on what we're being told about spiritual things. When someone tells us about spiritual things, as I'm trying to do to you, for you this morning, you need to check up on what I'm saying. We see an example of that in Acts 17 and in verse 11. In regard to the Jews at Berea, these, that pronoun refers to the Jews at Berea, these Jews at Berea were more fair-minded than those Jews in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so or these things were true. Even that which Paul spoke, they had to search the Scriptures to determine if he was actually telling them the truth or not. So we ought to read the Scriptures so that we know that when we hear the truth, we're hearing the truth. We ought to read the Scriptures so that we can know that those who are preaching and teaching are teaching the truth. If you don't know what the truth is, you'll succumb to error. And so you read the Scriptures to check up on those who are your teachers and your preachers. Because there are a lot of false teachers out in the world. 2 Peter 2 and in verse 1. Peter said, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them and bring them themselves with destruction." 1 John 4 and in verse 1, John said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." That's why we need to read. We need to read in order to check upon those who are telling us about spiritual things. Another reason we need to read is in order to have freedom from the condemnation of sin. John 8 and verse 32. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." When you read the Scriptures, you will come to understand what the truth is. And that truth, when one renders obedience to it, will make you free. It will set you free, liberate you from your sin. What is truth? Goes back to the Scriptures, the Word of God. John 17 and verse 17. "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Set them apart, consecrate them, devote them to the service of God by your word," by the Scriptures. That's why we need to read the Scriptures, that we can have freedom from the condemnation of sin and be devoted to God. The last reason why men should read the Scriptures is in order to have all spiritual blessings. Because in the reading of the Scriptures, and through your understanding of it and application and obedience to your life, you can come to be a partaker of all the spiritual blessings that are available. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus," in a relationship with Christ Jesus, in your union and fellowship with Christ Jesus, you can partake of every spiritual blessing available to man. Those who are outside of Christ Jesus do not have that. How do you get it? Through the reading of the Scriptures and your application and obedience to it. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, "In Him," in who? In Christ. We have redemption through His blood. We have redemption, liberation, freedom. Freedom from sin through the blood of His sacrifice. It is the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Well, if we're in a union, in a relationship, or in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, where all spiritual blessings exist, how do we get into that? Galatians 3:26, "For we are all sons of God," or children of God, "through faith in Christ Jesus." I like the English Standard Version. "For in Christ Jesus you're all sons of God through faith." That's where you're sons of God. In Christ Jesus, in a relationship with Him. And you need to read the Scriptures. Come to understand the meaning of those Scriptures. Comprehend them. Make application to them in obedience. Come to be in Christ Jesus. So we're all sons of God in Christ Jesus. Why? Note that little word "for" there. It's a Greek conjunction, gar, gives a reason why we're all sons of God in Christ Jesus. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." How did we get in that union and fellowship with Christ? We were baptized into it. That's how we got into it. But if one's not willing to do that, you'll not be a partaker of the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. There'll be no redemption. That is, there'll be no liberation, forgiveness of sins, outside of Christ Jesus. It's only in Christ Jesus where you can enjoy that spiritual blessing. Only in Christ Jesus can you enjoy the spiritual blessing of salvation in a union and fellowship with Him. And you get into that no other way than through baptism. Why should men read the Scripture? Could there not be a more important reason? Read it in order to be saved. Now, a lot of men read newspapers. A lot of men read magazines and social media websites to find out what other men are doing. But what they need to be reading in the Scriptures to find out what they ought to be doing in order to be saved from their sins. So let me ask as we end this morning, what are you reading? What are you reading? Are you reading the Scriptures to find out what you must do in order to be saved? If you're reading the Scriptures, are you responding in obedience to that which you read on a daily basis, whether you're a child of God or not a child of God? Reading is important. Simply cannot be overemphasized. So if you've not obeyed this morning what you have read, you need to obey now what you have read if you've come to understand it, comprehend it. You need to obey it now. Because 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 tells us that we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things that we've done in the body according to what we have done, whether good or whether bad. So come the day of judgment, will you have read? Will you have read with understanding, complied in obedience? Will you enter into the joys of heaven? The choice is yours this day. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, willing to repent of your sins and confess your faith in Him, we will immerse you in water to have your sins washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. To have your sins remitted, Acts 2 and in verse 38. To have your sins forgiven, Ephesians 1 and in verse 7. You'll be baptized into Christ where the forgiveness of sins is found. If you're willing to do that, all things are ready. We're simply waiting upon your decision. If you're a child of God and have sin in your life, we encourage you this day, get yourself right before it's too late. The day of judgment is fast approaching upon us all, faster for some than others. Think about it. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, please come as we sing the song that is selected.